Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This, my fellow Americans, is indeed the broadcast. For November 19th, in the year of our Lord, 2015, this is our 2 of 2. And the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founders. It's incredibly simple. We use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide. We also believe the checks and balances put in place by the founders are brilliant. And the solution to the problems we face, we don't need a revolution. How about a peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth? Welcome to the broadcast. Do we have problems? Without a doubt. Am I ignorant? Am I burying my head in the sand? Am I overlooking those issues? No, I'm not. But am I willing to acknowledge the truth and realize that, yeah, America, even though it has its problems, is one of the best countries on the face of the earth? Bar none. All right, Kirk Cosby's with me. Welcome, sir.
Buenos dias. Greetings and salutations. Howdy, howdy, howdy. Thank you, Sam.
All right. There's a big, interesting merger news story to talk about. Kirk, Dateline, New York. Headline says Marriott to buy Starwood hotel chain in what they call $12.2 billion deal. That's huge, Kurt. A $12.2 billion deal for Marriott to buy Starwood hotel chain. Now, you know what that means, Kurt, at all? I mean, in terms of who, what, and all that kind of stuff?
Well, bottom line, at least for the individual, it means there's a little less competition when you get, you know, the big hotel chains gobbling up each other. You'll see the other guys probably unite and to see if they can hold on against Marriott or whatever.
Yeah.
But that is what I see in it, you know.
Yeah, now one of the biggest things about this, Kurt, and what I say, do you know what it means? It will create the world's largest hotel company. Think about that. The world's largest hotel company. We're not talking about largest corporation in the U.S. anymore. We're talking about, transnational corporations that are just massive. The world's largest hotel company would be Marriott / Starwood. It also means that, Kurt, as far as I can tell, it means less competition. It also means, you know, Starwood's well known, and a lot of business executives and highfalutin folks go there. It's kind of been a battleground. If, you know, are you a Marriott guy or you're a Starwood guy? Kind of an idea, Kurt. And I guess that leaves Marriott to go head to head with Hilton now, Kurt, is what kind of the idea would be, right?
Well, yeah. And the Starwood includes basically the Westin, Sheraton, and W hotel chains.
So it's massive, dude.
Yeah. You know, you've got a.
And it's not just like low-end Motel 6 stuff. We're talking about high-end hotel. We're talking about the business. Yeah. And what a lot of the people that come to some of these nice hotels, the Sheraton and the Westin and stuff, they're kind of saying, oh, man, Marriott will ruin it. We'll lose all of our cool travel perks, and we'll lose all of our awesome things. And my response to them would be, well, maybe some of those awesome things were just not sustainable. But it's sure interesting. And the world's largest hotel chain is kind of a scary proposition, if you ask me, Kurt. Now, what I remember about Marriott is they had pornography in their rooms, and they got beat up for that pretty good. And I hope they've changed that. Do you know if they've changed that, Kurt? I used to love the Marriott hotel chain. But ever since I found that out, I kind of tried to steer clear of them. But maybe they've got that resolved. I hope so. Do you have a handle on that? Do you know?
I don't know. I can say this. It sure seems like that stuff's available almost everywhere you go.
Yes, Kurt. All right, I got another news story for you that I find.
By the way, they say Starwood has nearly 1,300 hotels worldwide, and then you got Marriott that has 4,200. So you know, you put them together, you get what 5,500
hotels.
Hotels.
Yeah,
you know, that's a chunk.
But that's nothing compared to like the FedEx people. They got like what 14,000 stores, you know, worldwide or whatever. So
yeah. Good point.
Maybe they need to basically have, you know, FedEx / no, not FedEx. What's that thing called? They do the print services and stuff like that.
Yeah,
it's FedEx. Yeah,
Alpha Graphics, FedEx.
It's like, know. Anyway, so maybe they just merge with those guys, and then they can say you could print and sleep, and we'll print while you're sleeping and everything else.
All.
Yeah. You know.
Good point. Yeah.
Anyway, I just found that, wow, the world's largest hotel chain. That's kind of crazy. Now, Kurt, police have been abusing us for some time. And then when the cops abuse us, they don't understand why we don't like it. They don't understand why we're not comfortable with the cops, you know. But the headline says police civil asset forfeiture is now exceeding all burglaries in 2014. Investment Watch blog is who is bringing this out. So let me say this again for your understanding. Civil asset forfeiture, which is where the cops believe that somehow if you're involved with a crime or somehow involved in any way in what they would consider illegal activity or breaking the law, then they believe that they could seize the assets that are, I don't know what you call it, aiding and abetting or allowing you to accomplish that behavior. Okay, so the idea would be if you run drugs in a vehicle, then they find the drugs, they could say, you know what, because of asset forfeiture, we're taking the vehicle too, because that's the apparatus in which enabled you to carry out these crimes, and therefore, hey, now I believe it's a private property nightmare. Violates the fundamentals of America, without question, it's wrong. But there's been a battle back and forth about it, but the cops are on the take, Kurt. So the headline says, police civil asset forfeitures exceed all burglaries in 2014. Now, that's startling, Kurt. I mean, that is just like, wow. But they say between 1989 and 2010, U.S. attorneys seized an estimated $12.6 billion in asset forfeiture cases. Now, they say the growth rate during that time, I guess, grew, and they give all these numbers out, 19%, 52%, it goes on and on. And I look at that, Kurt, and I just go, are you kidding me? I mean, that is just massive. We've got to somehow stop this civil asset forfeiture stuff, Kurt. Because let me give you an example. And I'm going to give you an example, then I'm going to tell you that it's a real story. Oh, I just told you that in advance. All right, it's a real story. I'm having fun, people. And I'll tell you the name of the innocent at the end of the story, okay? But it is a real story. A pickup truck was borrowed by a son. The son drives the pickup with dad's permission. Son gets pulled over. Son has a suspended driver's license. So, well, you broke the law with his vehicle, right, Kurt?
Yeah.
So cops impound borrowed vehicle that son was driving. Remember, asset forfeiture. They got the vehicle now. It was used to commit the crime, right, Kurt?
Good point.
Now, dad didn't realize that son's driver's license was suspended when he lent his son the truck.
Yeah.
So dad calls up and said, wait a minute, why is my car impounded? And they said, well, because it was used in a crime. What are you talking about? Well, you know, your son was driving this vehicle, obviously with your permission. And he's not allowed to drive. He's on a suspended license. And therefore, you know, the crime was committed with his vehicle. And we had to impound it. Dad says, whose truck is it? Cop says, it's yours, sir. Dad says, fine, what law did I break? Cop, no law. You didn't break any law, sir. But your car's impounded. Well, give me my car back. Oh, no. It was used in a crime. A crime that you obviously allowed to occur. Wait a minute. I didn't allow this to occur. I didn't know my son's driver's license was suspended. He left that detail out. Sorry, sir. That's what's going on. That's a real story. You want to know who's in the mix, Kurt?
Yep.
The dad, former sheriff, Richard Mack.
Oh, boy.
True story. Richard's livid. Richard's going to sue. And it's out of control, and it's got to be stopped. And this is the asset forfeiture stuff we're talking about. At when does it become the stealing of private property? When does it become you're guilty until proven innocent? When does it come down to... Look, Richard clearly states, I did not know my son didn't have his driver's license. He didn't tell me that part. So, yeah, I lent my son my truck. That's all true. But you can't hold my truck hostage over this. I didn't do anything wrong. And so now we get these cases that aren't so clear. The case that I gave you at the beginning, you know, you use this vehicle for drug running, and therefore we're going to, you know, impound the vehicle or take the car. I'm not saying I agree with it, but I at least understand it, right? But in this case, it's not even understandable as the lines blur and as the cops get more and more belligerent. Police in civil asset forfeiture exceed all burglaries in 2014. You kind of start to got to ask the question, Kurt, who on earth here would be the criminal? Liberty Roundtable, live.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Break the bond of Big Pharma. Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour to tell you about the powerful benefits of Strauss Heart Drops. Many people today are locked into the routine of taking multiple prescription drugs. Strauss Herb Company believes that everything the body needs is provided by nature. Strauss Heart Drops may clear congested arteries, restore damaged muscle, maintain healthy cholesterol levels, and flush toxins and metals from the body. They may even be helpful in treating varicose veins. And unlike prescription drugs that are packed with chemicals, Strauss Heart Drops are 100% natural and harness the healing power of herbs like garlic, cayenne, white willow bark, and mistletoe. For the full line of Strauss products, I urge you to call the Power Hour at 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829, or visit thepowermall.com. And remember, beware of knockoffs. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-getters to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
And Liberty Roundtable is brought to you in part by thepowermall.com. When you want to do business with the good guys, I'm telling you, they got incredible specials right now. Get discounts on all kinds of books and videos and health products and support radio today. Do business with the good guys, as Joyce Riley always puts it, and we concur. Do business with the patriots that want to support news the networks refuse to use, that want to support the Power Hour, Liberty Roundtable Live, all kinds of incredible talk shows. ThePowerMall.com. Check it out today and tell them Sam and Kurt sent you and get discounts everywhere you go. ThePowerMall.com. All right. 877-987-9829 is the number. 877-817-9829 or thepowermall.com. All right, Kurt, I guess there's a big battle going on. Do you know where the Red River is, Kurt? Down there in Texas.
Yeah. I know there's a movie, John Wayne movie called Red River, So I'm pretty sure it's down there in Texas.
Yes, sir. That's where it is. And there's a big battle along the Red River. Texas ranchers, counties sue feds over BLM land grab. Adan Salazar brings us the piece. And I guess multiple ranchers, a sheriff, and several Texas counties are suing the federal government. Why? Because they're unconstitutionally attempting to seize thousands of acres of private property along the Red River. Wow. It's pretty bold, isn't it, Kurt?
Are you surprised?
That the government's doing this or that the sheriffs are fighting it?
Yeah. Well, that the government's doing it.
Oh, heck no.
I'm pleased that the sheriffs are fighting it.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised that the sheriffs are fighting it. Because we usually don't see stand-up, Kurt.
No, we don't usually see it, but it's
however,
nice
I'm proud
it.
Of them. And it's kind of a big deal here, in my opinion. And the battle's on. But I don't know that suing the federal government's the answer, though. Meaning that I know they mean well. They claim the U.S. Bureau of Land Management is violating their citizens' Fourth and Fifth Amendment rights and infringing on the sovereignty of local county governments. And so a lawsuit was filed in the U.S. District Court was by 9 private landowners, including one county sheriff. I guess it's Wichita, Clay, and Wilbur, is that how you say it, counties. And they want to end the dispute with the feds once and for all, Kurt. Now, I'm not surprised the federal government's belligerent. I am surprised a little bit that we've got such stand-up, but I'm concerned that they're not going about it in the right way, Kurt. In other words, going to the federal courts to ask the courts to stand against the federal government seems like a crazy conflict of interest in this case.
Great point.
And I think what they need to do is just nullify now and demand the feds get off their land. And so maybe the sheriff ought to get a hold of Constitutional Sheriff Richard Mack and some of the attorneys that the CSPOA has in their back pocket, if you will, working on things, for guidance of how to resist. But I don't think that going to the courts is your favorite venue of choice. Somehow we think judges are the most powerful form of government or branch of government, and they ought to be the least, Kurt.
Great point.
That's just my You're take. Right but anyway, I commend them for their desire to stand. I'm a little worried about how they're going about it, that it may not be the right way. But you know what? Ultimately, Kurt, whether I agree or disagree with them, I'm pointing out my little bit of disagreement really because I want people to understand correct principles. But I will say this. At least they're doing something, Kurt. I got to come to their defense. At least they're trying. At least they're getting together and saying this is wrong and we want to do something about it. We need more of that, Kurt, not less more.
Amen to that.
You know, so fundamentally, even if I've got maybe a little bit of a concern, I don't want you to think that I'm not agreeing or thinking that they've got something good going on. They do.
Yeah. Amen to that.
Now, what do they call this? Global insecurity, Kurt?
Global insecurity.
Global insecurity.
Well, yeah, you know, that's basically where we are now. You know, we're globally insecure. Trump has now come out, and this is another thing you'll like about what he said, Sam. He says that the concealed gun carriers, they have an obligation to pack heat. Now, I'm thinking he's certainly coming out and being friends with the, Second Amendment kind of folks. He says that it will deter violence. It's far better than dealing with the aftermath, you know. And, that's pretty good wisdom, Sam. I didn't hear Obama say that, did you?
No.
Or Hillary?
But I also didn't hear Rand Paul say it, Kurt. Now, I know Rand Paul might believe
it.
Great
point, yeah.
But this is my point, that Trump's the only one, really, Kurt, that I see that's standing up. I mean, where is Rand? I mean, do you agree? Where on earth is Rand?
I wonder if every time he sees something like this, he thinks, man, I should have done that, you know. But
I don't know, but I just think he's missing an action, Kurt.
Yeah, one of the key things that's happening is, you know, the media is covering him big time now, and that is because he's the front runner. And, you know, so they'll pick up on it. This is a World Net Daily piece, so it's not going to be, you know, on the front page of the New York Times. But, you know, it's a great point. It's simple, basic truth that if those guys had been armed there in Paris, in my opinion, the people that started getting shot, there'd have been some return fire and a lot less.
I couldn't agree more.
You know, havoc going on.
And I appreciate Trump standing up and saying it. I just don't understand where Rand Paul is, though. I mean, he doesn't even take the time to agree and say, you know what, Trump's right on this.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a good move at least.
Well, look, it isn't a matter of saying, well, Trump's my enemy, so I'm never going to agree with him. We need to get past this partisanship, past this personal issue, or past this. Okay, you got to stand on principle, ladies and gentlemen. Principle above politics. Freedom above fortune, okay? Right? As opposed to wrong. And all I'm telling you is when Trump says, hey, having armed people is better than dealing with the aftermath, he's right. Now, it's kind of hard to say that concealed carriers have an obligation necessarily. And they have a right and a responsibility, I agree, but an obligation is a little bit too far.
Yeah, good point.
And I'm not saying that I disagree with this point. I mean, they did go and seek out a license. But this is kind of the problem that I'm having with it. Because they asked for government privileges, supposedly, that they have an obligation now? Or, in other words, is it a privilege with an obligation? Or is it a God-given, unalienable right that existed before government ever did? And so I guess I kind of differ a little bit. It's an obligation for us all to do our very best to stand for security and safety. No doubt about that. But I guess I hesitate on the obligation part when we're talking about concealed people, because that creates a special class based on a license, and they have an obligation based on that license and their, quote, privileged or, you know, identified class. I would rather think that it's an obligation of all of us, Kurt, and not based on a class or a specific, quote, permission granted, rather on an idea of, hey, we have responsibilities with rights. I don't know. Am I looking at it wrong? I don't mean to be too hair-splitting on this, Kurt, but I am trying to teach fundamentals here. And so I praise Trump because he's right that the right to keep and bear arms is critical, and the responsibility to defend ourselves is no doubt inherent. But I get very concerned when we start talking about concealed people and classes and then assigning privileges and obligations to those privileges. It concerns me greatly. Utah's in the news, Kurt. They're ranking number one. I don't know if you saw this. And, of course, if I'm going to do radio right, I better make you just hang till after the pause to know exactly what Utah's number one in, huh? And then my question is, do you believe it?
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
A backpack is more than just a bag, it's a statement. Whether you're a student or a professional, are traveling the world or commuting to work, Teton Sports offers a wide variety of backpacks, each of which is lightweight and durable. The book bag backpacks weigh only 1.5 pounds and come in solid pink, blue, red, or black. The session bags have eye-catching designs, adding a touch of style in pink and white or in black. Each is great for kids or adults who need a versatile, resilient, and eye-catching bag. The professional and the executive are sleek, sturdy backpacks with numerous uses. Whether you're hiking in the mountains or packing for an important business trip, these bags have plenty of room. Not only are the backpacks comfortable and lightweight, but they're large enough to fill all your needs. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, duffels, tents, cots, camp pads, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Extend your life with Extendovine. please.
Extendivite really works. Here is what people are saying.
A year ago, I was realizing that I was in serious problems with my heart. You know, I had these chest pains and so on. I realized that I had to do something and quick. I didn't want to go the medical route. So I started in doing some investigating, and somebody told me about these heart drops. I got on the heart drops prescribed dosage. Within 2 weeks, I immediately started seeing the results. This is working. I'm going to stick with it. I can't deny the fact that when I got on the heart drops initially, there was immediate help, an immediate turnaround.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it kind of baffles me. People email me while I'm on the show sometimes. They say, hey, Sam, is there a way to get a hold of you? While you're on the air? Yeah, email libertyroundtable at gmail.com. Email Sam or Kurt at libertyroundtable.com. Or you can email libertyroundtable at gmail.com, too, either way. You can call us at 866-986-NEWS. We'll put you on the radio with us. But anyway, so a person named Casey emails me and says, hey, can I get a hold of you any other way besides being on the phone? So I called them back on a break, believe it or not, and then they didn't answer. I had to leave a voicemail. I don't know what to say to people. I try to be as available as I can, Kurt. Just imagine a talk show host calling a listener back on the break. So, you know, I'm not telling you we're perfect, but that's how we roll. It's a little different. And I realize that,
well,
you know,
you're just untouchable. You're unreachable.
You know me.
Sam.
That's right.
You can't, you know.
But, it is true that sometimes it's hard to get back to everybody when there's so many things going on. I mean, after all, today my daughter's getting married and I'm live on the radio.
Right. You might be busy later.
A little bit. But, you know, I've only got 8 kids and 3 jobs and stuff, so I'm not that busy.
Yeah, I mean, so what's up with your spare time?
I was trying to hang lights for my daughter's wedding and call Comcast to get this radio station on the air yesterday, though, Kurt. And so when people say sometimes it takes Sam a day or two to get back to me, I think he's like, I'm just kind of going, what? But I write back and I say, hi, Casey. And what should I say? Tried to call you back?
Yeah, just couldn't reach you.
And left a voicemail.
Yeah, there you go.
Emailing you now.
At this time.
As well, while on air. Thank you.
Yeah.
Sam. Wait. All right, I said thanks, Sam. All right, so I just fired that off.
Mm-hmm.
While that's going on, though, Utah's in the news. And it's, kind of weird. Utah ranks number 1, Kurt. Can you guess what it's in?
Let's see. Something to do with family?
That's probably true, too, but no. This is the place, is the term used now, Kurt, from a kind of a phrase from days gone past for Utah.
Yeah.
Salt Lake City, Utah is the place for clean energy job creation. In fact, Utah's number 1, sir. A report researched and released by what they call environmental entrepreneurs. I guess they say Utah is the hub of clean energy activity. They got 3,000 plus new energy jobs in the last quarter. And I guess they're going to be creating thousands and thousands of more jobs as Utah becomes the clean energy center of the world, Kurt. The economic opportunity is tremendous. They say that 30,000 plus clean energy jobs have been announced around the country. But they say that it's just rocking. Utah's numero uno. What do you think of that, Kurt?
Well, when it comes to clean energy, you know, it all depends on how you define clean energy,
Kurt.
I guess you could say. But, you know, I...
Yeah, can you help me understand clean energy, Kurt?
Well, you know, on this whole solar thing, which has got to be in this mix, I don't know.
Oh,
sure,
yes, it is. Yeah. Know, oh, yeah. It's at the heart of it,
throwing,
in fact, sir.
You know, I am grateful for any improvement in, you know, the status quo, you know, in other words, the grid system. You know, just like with government schools, I'm grateful even if we got charter schools, because it's a little bit of an improvement. Little bit more of a taking things back, you know, but I do wish for the you know, real solutions. Like, for example, when it comes to solar, I don't really want people just all hooking up their solar systems to the grid so that we just power the grid, but I'd prefer to have them so that they just power their own house. You know, or at least they could power the grid and their house, but the way they got them set up typically is it just powers the grid. And so even in a real rough case, worst case scenario, they can't still even power their own home.
See, I got a problem with this whole clean energy discussion, Kurt. Clean energy has now become this buzzword.
Yeah.
And I don't even know what clean energy means.
Well, what it really means is the government's taking charge of that, and they want, you know, a piece of the action, and, you know, they want to, you know, look like they're the good guys, so they're going to promote this whole thing with your tax dollars, by the way.
Like, what if you type clean energy into Google, Kurt? What comes up first, for instance?
Let's see.
By the way, we were supposed to have on Paul Preston, the talk show host, but he didn't dial in. I tried the number back that I had for him and just got a fax tone, so I don't know what's up with that. We'll work on that and hopefully have him back. But if you type in clean energy to Google, just those two words, what do you get, Kurt? What comes up for you?
I get...
The one clean energy firm comes up for me first.
Well, yeah, okay. I got clean energy fuels, utahcleanenergy.org, cleanenergyministerial.org.
So they got this this headline that says, what is clean energy, Kurt?
The clean energy revolution gathers speed from Scientific American.
A clean energy future is possible now, sir.
Yeah.
You got a family in front of their house with solar panels in a photo. How do we power the world without destroying it in the process? Challenging, yes, but there's a way forward. Clean energy.
Now, the Newsmax guys just sent me a thing I was supposed to watch and stuff
on clean energy?
And it's... Well, it says a stunning breakthrough in chemical engineering has unleashed a massive supply of fuel. Enough fuel, in fact, to power the entire globe for over 36,000 years. Fuel is so revolutionary, it's poised to decimate big oil's obscene profits, make OPEC obsolete, and hand the United States 100% energy independence. Sounds pretty clean. In fact, the U.S. Department of Defense just invested $7 billion in a single day. So they say Apple, Google, and Facebook are spending billions racing to implement this technology. And, of course,
can I just be brutal?
Click here to watch what it is.
Can I just call a halt to this con game, Kurt, and take off the gloves and tell these people how it really is? This is absolutely bogus.
They say with a tiny grain of sand, Sam. The International Energy Agency predicts $48 trillion could soon flow into this sector, making it the number one source of energy on the planet. So you got to get in there, Sam. I mean, hustle.
I'm telling you right now, first off, you can't even define what it means.
Well, I mean, it sure does sound good, though.
Okay.
Doesn't it?
Now, I guess they want you to believe it's supposedly some way, a way to save the world.
Yep.
And to not destroy the planet while you enjoy energy. That's kind of the idea. And I submit to you that it's bogus, Kurt. Let me just ask you a question. How much energy does it take to create one solar panel?
Well, Sam, I mean, it's probably solar energy, which is...
What are you talking about? It isn't solar energy. Dude, you got to pull this stuff out of the earth. You got to put all these compounds together. It's a mammoth process to build a solar panel.
Yep.
They say power generation is the lead cause of air pollution. And the single largest cause of our U.S. global warming emissions. Coal, Kurt, is the worst offender. It's a dirty energy source that produces less than half of our electricity, but nearly 80% of all carbon emissions.
Yeah.
Now, how much energy does it take and how much environmental damage does it take to build a solar panel, Kurt?
I don't know.
And then once you use that solar panel, then how much energy do you get out of it at what cost? And I'm telling you, when you really drill into this and when you figure it out, the numbers are bogus. The savings of energy is bogus. They're calling it the clean energy revolution gathers speed. Yep. Scientific American. U.S. buildings have grown colder in recent years, Kurt.
Yeah, you know why they're colder, right, Sam?
Well, because the government puts regulations on how hot they can be?
Well, one of the reasons is usually they use these light bulbs that would heat things up. You know what I mean? Which is nice in the winter, of course. But now they use these light bulbs, you know, like these light-emitting diodes, LEDs. And that, you know, makes less, it makes as much light, but it doesn't heat things up. And, of course, it uses less energy. Now, these LED bulbs have dropped, they say, in price by 90% in the recent years. By the way, have you ever found any LED bulbs that you could get, you know, pretty good rate and they bright?
Well, if they're really any good, Kurt, they're expensive. So,
okay.
It's kind of relative, right?
Yeah.
But there's an article from The Atlantic, Kurt.
Yeah.
And it's called Clean Energy's Dirty Little Secret.
Oh.
And they go in and document the fact that, Kurt, look, hybrid cars and wind turbines need rare minerals that come with their own hefty environmental price tag. We'll drill in seconds. Oh, wait, we can't drill. That'd be illegal.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Hello everyone, James Edwards here.
Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
I'm taking out the gloves on these global warming, clean energy goofballs. They're lying to you, ladies and gentlemen, for a political agenda of stealing your private property and controlling you. It's bogus. It's all Agenda 21 stuff. It's lame as all get out, but Americans can't even see through the truth. Okay? Let me ask you if you know about the unincorporated community of Mountain Pass, California, Curtin. Do you know about the gold rush going on down there?
Nope.
All right, it's not really a gold rush to be exact, but it's likened unto a gold rush. Why? Well, let me explain. By the way, Mountain Pass down there kind of by Baker, California, okay?
All right.
And they're calling it a 21st century gold rush because they're after this, well, very unique earth ore. They got a mine down there, and they ore this stuff, right? They call it the pixie dust of green tech. Let me ask you if you know what neodymium is, or neodymium is. Do you know what that is, Kurt? Neodymium?
No.
Let me spell it for you. N-E-O-D-Y-N-I-U-M. Neodymium, or neodymium, however you prefer. Okay? It's necessary to create the lightweight magnets that put together the motors in these, quote, hybrid cars and the turbines for wind power generation. Okay? But if we're going to rescue the planet by having all these, you know, hybrid cars and all these wind turbines and everything else going on, then we got to double this production of neodymium in short order, Kurt.
Yeah.
Okay? Now, there you have it. Now, believe it or not, most of this stuff came from China, Kurt. And some of these other high-tech compounds necessary to make some of these, quote, clean energy solutions came from China. Now, China has cut exports to nurture its own permanent magnet industry. Now, it's $60 a kilo to get this special neodymium, Kurt.
Yes.
So, a lot of folks are worried. They see shortages stifling the clean tech industry, and maybe worse. If we don't think it's through, Kurt, we could be trading a troubling dependence on Middle Eastern oil for a dependence on Chinese neodymium. Right? Or neodymium. Now, you cool with that? You want to deal with the Saudis or the communist Chinese, Kurt?
No choice C?
Yeah, drill in America. Make things in America. They say rare earths are finally, they say fairly common. What's hard is how do you do so? How do you mine this stuff without it being toxic? How do you mine it profitably? Because most of it, Kurt, contains what they call radioactive thorium. You're familiar with that, right? The radioactive thorium stuff?
Oh, yeah. I remember that was in thorium class.
T-H-O-R-I-U-M, radioactive thorium is kind of part of the problem.
Yeah, I remember thorium for sure.
And just the good part about the stuff down a mountain pass is it's not too radioactive, Kurt, just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
And through the 1950s, the ore was primarily used to make flints for lighters, Kurt.
Oh, there you go. All those old lighters.
Now, you're familiar with the rare earth element europium, aren't you, Kurt?
Oh, that comes from Europe, right?
That was used to create the red tones.
Europium.
And the color TVs, Kurt.
Was that? Oh, no, that came in with opium, I think. Europium and myopium.
No, Kurt, this is europium, man.
Oh, that opium. Yeah.
Now, don't worry, Kurt, because this mine was doing really well. But then the cheaper Chinese rare earth products got dumped on the market.
Yeah.
And so now China is considered the high-tech or, what do you call it, clean energy?
Uh-huh.
Comparing it to the Middle Eastern oil countries. As Chinese ore came onto the market, the price fell from $11,000-some-odd a ton to $7,000-plus a ton. And amassing a strategic supply of this kind of became old-fashioned. It's kind of like just-in-time, high-tech, rare-earth elements, Kurt.
Yeah.
And so the U.S. started selling off its stocks of these minerals, and that kind of became a problem.
Yep.
And so they stopped processing down there at this mine I was telling you about down there in Mountain Pass.
Yeah.
Because they had a series of wastewater leaks, Kurt.
Little wastewater leaks.
I mean, hundreds of thousands of gallons of water carrying radioactive waste spilled into and around. Well, it was a problem.
Yep. Whoops.
Don't worry, though. They resolved the problems, Kurt.
We got it taken care of.
Nothing and they're going to crank this sucker up again. Now, here's the point I'm getting at. What's the real cost, Kurt? And is it really financially beneficial for us to do this? Is it really good for us to go in battle with the Chinese on who can, you know, mine these minerals the cheapest to make them available? Is it really smart to go from Middle Eastern oil dependency to China high-tech rare earth element dependency? All in the name of supposedly preventing global warming and having this, you know, clean energy. And I submit to you, how clean is it by the time you build a solar panel, the time you build a wind turbine, by the time you put these rare earth magnets and compounds in there? What environmental cost is it to get them in the first place? At what cost is dependency? And then really, day-to-day for the consumer, what cost can you produce energy for? Yeah. And I guarantee you can't produce energy cheaper than coal, Kurt.
Yeah, but Sam, you don't want to tell people that.
Now, let me explain one other issue. While we're importing these, quote, rare earth, highly produced compounds, whatever you want to call it, we're exporting coal to China, Kurt.
Well, of course, because that's dirty. It goes over there.
Yeah, but why would the Chinese want our dirty coal if this stuff is so awesome?
They're on a different planet.
Yeah, but Kurt, if they've got all these cool rare earth compounds, why do we want to give them coal?
Well, because
they don't need it.
Because we're crazy when it comes to trade, aren't we, Sam?
Well, and that's the whole point.
Doesn't make any
sense. See, the Chinese realize that it's not sustainable, but they'll play along with us suckers if we choose anytime.
That's right.
And the problem isn't that there's no real options, Kurt. The problem is all the options we're pursuing have a different agenda than you believe they have.
Great point.
Could we really find a way in America to produce solar panels? Yes. To produce wind turbines? Yes. To produce batteries and magnets that could literally provide energy? Absolutely. But, Kurt, it starts with opening up all avenues, not playing games with political rhetoric and manipulations of laws to engender us funding the communist Chinese military on the backs of our clean, free energy boom.
Imagine that.
Okay, these people are crazy. I'll debate any of these people anytime, any day, anywhere on this issue, and I will clean their clock.
Yeah.
Have you installed a single solar panel with a single conversion kit to convert, DC to AC and that kind of stuff to where you can just day-to-day run your operations off of it, and how much it costs for a watt of electricity? And how efficient those solar panels supposedly really are or whatever? Okay, the best way to produce electricity is hydro. Second is coal. Okay, natural gas might be something to consider in the mix as well. And I'm not suggesting that we can't use wind and solar to supplement, but it's not sustainable financially right now. It doesn't make any sense. So we're going down this rabbit hole, and we're going to leave the thugs in the Middle East because we don't need their oil, but we're going to go ahead and hook up with the communist Chinese for these rare earth elements, Kurt.
Yeah, they're our most favored nation.
All in the name of supposedly clean energy, which I submit to you is as big of a lie as global warming. Those words are bogus. They are labels that can't really be defined. And when you put pencil to paper, in other words, put reality, case study after case study shows that it is not financially sustainable. You create the simplest. And by the way, one of our buddies, Vincent Finella, USA Prepares, has done this. You take a single solar panel, Kurt, a single one, and you hook it to a single source to convert it to usable electricity. In other words, an inverter or whatever. And then you run something off of it, and you tell me how much energy you get out of it versus what they promise that you get out of it versus how much it costs you to get the solar panel and install it and maintain it and everything else to really use it. And you tell me if it's financially sustainable. And the answer is it's not. Well, Sam, the problem is that's not scalable. You got to have the government involved. Okay, now you're talking about subsidizing that sucker. And now it's a big old scam con game. Yeah, the taxpayers pay $1 million and they let me buy a solar panel for a dollar. It might be sustainable in that lie. Sure, but it isn't true, folks. It isn't true at all. But here's the end game. It's all used to promote this Agenda 21, Kurt. It's all used to make you believe that in the name of clean energy and preventing global warming and being a responsible citizen by reducing your footprint, that somehow you're going to save us from ourselves. Never mind, you don't turn to God in any way. Okay, we've lost our marbles, folks. We're way off the reservation. I know that's not a politically correct term, but I'm telling you right now, we're crazy. And if I bring this up, then they say, Sam, you're a heretic. You have no degree. You don't have any idea. What are you talking about? Who are you? You must be a terrorist, huh, Sam? Plus, you're probably a racist and a hater. And I'm like, what? I was just telling you that it's not sustainable in my small studies. You don't even know. You don't have a degree. What are you talking about? You're going against all the scientific evidence and all the governments in the world. You're just a pea. We're going to squash you. We'll let you on the radio as long as you don't get too big. You sound like a kook. That's enough. And they just go on and on and on. But they're lying to you, ladies and gentlemen. Global warming is bogus. And so is clean energy. But don't worry. If you move to Utah, you can get a job in the clean energy industry, baby. It's all about jobs, isn't it, Kurt? So you can buy all your goods and services with fake money and run around and pretend you're getting ahead while they take greater control of you, your life, and your family every day we move forward. There is a way to stop it, folks. Liberty Roundtable aims to inform and educate and then activate. We all get involved in the solutions, which is to return to the supreme law of the land and reject all this phony baloney about global warming and clean energy and everything else and find ways to truly make a difference in the private sector and leave government out of it. LibertyRoundtable.com for live and on-demand radio and free columnist content and more. We the people can restore America, but we need your help. LibertyRoundtable.com. This nation shall endure.